Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on a Wednesday. Busy hour coming up. Mike Palm in studio in 30 minutes. Go over some bets in the NBA, but we have to get right into it to begin the hour. As a longtime friend of the show, the great Sal Palantonio, Hall of Fame voter, Sal Palantonio joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Anything happened in the last 24 hours, Sal Pal?
Oh, my gosh. My phone has been blowing up. So I had a set. By the way, thank you for having me on Follow the Money. I love you guys. Mitch and Paulie, great to be back with you. We're on the doorstep of Super Bowl 60, and it's always great to be with you. But, yeah, 17-hour travel day from Denver back to Philly after the AFC Championship game. It was a bear. I got to tell you, I've been on the road my whole life, whether it was the United States Navy or as a reporter. I have been everywhere, but that was one of the worst travel days of my life. And God bless those people who work overtime in the airports to get everybody home safely. I got to tell you, they put in the work, and God bless them. But, yeah. So I get home, I turn off the phone, I'm hanging out, you know, I'm actually literally having rigatoni with my wife at the table with a little glass of, you know what, and I got the phone off, I turned it off, and then I turned it back on at 5 o'clock this morning when I get up, and my phone has got 15 texts, 5 voicemails, all from Get Up and from Dan Patrick and all these shows, NFL Live, and literally, you know the old saying, your phone is blown up. I thought my phone literally would overheat.
So for the record, I know you've been saying this today as well, but for the audience who may not have heard this earlier today, again, you have a Hall of Fame vote. Did you vote for Bill Belichick to get in?
I did. I supported him, and I voted for Bill Belichick to get in. And like all of the other voters, you know, we took into account, when you do this job, and I've been doing it for 12 years, when you do this job, you take it seriously. You look at everything. You do your due diligence. You look at the background of every candidate. You make sure you have careful consideration. So, yes, did I consider Spygate? Yes, I covered Spygate for ESPN. I was there at MetLife Stadium when it happened. I was with the commissioner when he made the decision to punish Bill Belichick and the Patriots for Spygate. I understand the gravity of the situation there. Did I look into Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? Was Belichick the beneficiary of Brady or the other way around? I looked at that calculus. I looked at the calculus of whether Belichick would come back into the NFL and would that be embarrassing to the Hall of Fame. I put all of that into the hopper, gentlemen, and I made the decision that his legacy and accomplishments outweigh everything else, and he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, having said that, Mitch and Pauly, I think it's really important for people to ratchet down the rhetoric and look at it from the big picture perspective. Bill Belichick's going to get into the Hall of Fame. Is it difficult to understand why he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer? Yes, it is. But let's please not attack the Hall of Fame. One, two, because it's a great institution and people who have been there love the experience. And two, let's not stain or mar this Hall of Fame class, Drew Brees and the others, because we know Brees is getting in first ballot for sure. I mean, I'm just conjecturing. I don't know the class. But those people who have worked their entire lives to stand in front of that audience in Canton, Ohio, and have their bust, the bronze bust that lasts 10,000 years, unveiled in front of their family and friends, let us not stain their legacy by doing anything stupid with regards to Bill Belichick being kept out this year. Belichick's going in. All these others deserve to go in. It's a long list. I'm on the senior committee. I hate to rant like this to you guys, but I'm on the senior committee. And it's our job. I presented Roger Craig this year. I don't know if he got in, but I made that presentation for Roger Craig. This man deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. LC Greenwood deserves. Kraft deserves. Ken Anderson deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. They all do. But the bottom line is, don't stain the legacy of those who go in by saying anything about Belichick. That's what I think.
Did this happen because it's anonymous ballots?
Well, baseball has anonymous ballots, but baseball, some of the writers make their ballots public. So it, in my view, it's up to the voters to do what they want to do with their ballots and say what they want to say. I'm not going to put anybody's business out there, one. Two, the bylaws of the Hall of Fame tell us, forbid us from talking about the process and the workings behind the scenes in the committee. And I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. So there's a two-tier voting system. The first tier is the three seniors that we had this year, Elsie Greenwood, Roger Craig, and Ken Anderson, plus Bob Kraft, plus Bill Belichick. Now, that is five. That's a murderer's row. All five of those guys, in my view, deserve to go in. We have to choose three of the five. So you vote three of the five. Is it possible that some voters decided, well, I think Belichick's going to get in, so I'm going to vote for my guy or a guy that I want to get in? That's possible. Mm-hmm. That could have happened. That suggests to me there wasn't any kind of animosity that people are suggesting. So I believe the procedure may have been an issue, for sure.
Yeah.
I think also Belichick possibly coming back into the NFL, some were really concerned about that. But the bottom line is, let's turn down the volume a little bit. Bill Belichick is doing fine, and he will get into the Hall of Fame. But let's please not do anything that will hurt the legacy of these guys who do get in this year in this class in August of 2026, because they belong just like everybody else, and they deserve the celebration just like everybody else.
You cannot and will not answer this question then? You're not allowed to? Did somebody in the room say he needs to sit out a year as a penance?
I could not, and I would not.
Okay, fair enough. Were you more surprised at Belichick or Sean Payton not kicking a field goal?
Oh, baby. I was definitely more surprised by Belichick, but Sean Payton not kicking a field goal, that's a close second.
Yeah. So what was your early takeaway on Sunday night when you were up against the traveling nightmare to get back to the East Coast? And you had a chance to be there live for that game and then watch the second game look totally different than that one. And your gut said what about the Super Bowl matchup?
Don't overlook the Patriots' defense. Make sure you focus this week on the Patriots' front four. And remember this name. This name will get a head coaching job. Zach Kerr.
Huh?
He is the linebackers coach for the Patriots who calls the defensive plays. And that guy outsmarted Sean Payton on the 4th-and-1. He is a former intern in Ohio State, went with Mike Vrabel to Tennessee, comes in as the linebackers coach, is elevated to the play caller because of what happened to their DC in New England. And now this guy, on a critical play in the AFC Championship game, calls a six-man front with a zone defense behind it after Sean Payton calls a timeout, changes the play from a run to a pass. Kerr sees that and calls that defense on the fly in real time, probably in less than 5 seconds. Patriots adjust defensively, brilliantly. It's almost akin to Matt Patricia having Malcolm Butler in the right spot. Now, you know about that play. I wrote about that play in my book, How Football Explains America. I detailed how Matt Patricia did not have that play in until the day before the Super Bowl in a walkthrough. And Malcolm Butler tried it like 5-6 times and never intercepted the scout quarterback.
Yep.
And then he intercepts Russell Wilson at the goal line and changes the fortunes of Tom Brady and the Patriots. If the Seahawks go on to win that game, a whole lot of things are different in the career of Belichick and Brady and the Patriots dynasty and whatnot. That was an incredible play. I think that Malcolm Butler play is one of the top five all-time in Super Bowl history. Would you agree?
I would. Absolutely. No doubt. Do you think it'll be a low-scoring game, or you want to win?
I do.
Okay.
No, I think it'll be a low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
I will join you next week from Santa Clara. I will be embedded with the Patriots in their hotel in Santa Clara all week long. I'll come to you live from the Patriots Hotel in Santa Clara next Wednesday with Vito's son on Follow the Money. You know I'm going to be there for you guys. And we will go in depth on what this matchup is. But, yes, it will be. I think your first thought about it being a low-scoring game. I will tell you my prediction next Wednesday. I think it will. I will give it to you before it comes out on ESPN.com on Wednesday. I'll make sure that you guys get it and you can post it, and I'll give you my prediction. I got to go through it one more time. I'm not ready to call the game. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think in this particular game, unlike what happened on Championship Sunday, where there were no lead changes, no scoring at all in the fourth quarter in either game, which was shocking considering where it was headed in the playoffs, I think in this game will be decided in the fourth quarter, and this game will be decided by a turnover by the quarterback in the fourth quarter of this Super Bowl.
All right.
Sounds good.
We're waiting for a full week. Can't wait to get you back on then to have the exact breakdown of what's going to happen. Sal Pell, you're the best. Thank you as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Hall of Fame voter Sal Palantonio voted for Bill Belichick. We'll get into tonight's NBA card. We'll tell you some players who have been red hot with their player props next year on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
By the way, the detectives on the internet, social media, they have tried to dwindle down the list of possible voters who did not vote for Belichick. And we just talked to Sal Palantonio, and he confirmed that he did vote for him to get in the first time around. And people are like on a mission right now. And they have actually like tweeted out, okay, the people in, who I've highlighted here admitted publicly that they voted for Bill Belichick. I think that if you are one of the 50 who voted for him, you want to make it a point to come out publicly and say, absolutely, I voted for the guy.
Yeah.
Because you don't want any questions surrounding your name on this.
Those are hardcore fans in the New England area as well.
You think?
And they'll go after you if they don't like stuff. So they hate us because they ain't us with the T-shirts and Spygate and Deflategate and getting together and one-man wolf pack and going after people. I mean, this is, they're going to hunt down or try to get this established, who is some of the no's here and how many it could be.
Well, what if somebody with a vote who had an official no vote on Belichick, because they're anonymous, said, yeah, I did vote for him because they don't want anybody to, would they be outed? Hold on a second here. No, you didn't. You're a liar. Would anybody put them on the hot seat at that point, under the microscope, so to speak? Because I definitely do not want people thinking that I voted no on Belichick.
Right. No doubt.
And if you did, I guess, could you wear it proudly? You're going to be a hated person if you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what's that number? At a minimum of 11 people out of the 50 had to say no to him. So here is another Hall of Fame voter. This is Shireen Williams and a back and forth on like, well, what was the room like? Was there a pushback towards Belichick? Was there not? Polian can't remember. My God, what the hell's going on here? But this is Hall of Fame voter Shireen Williams talking about that.
There was no indication in that meeting that Bill Belichick was not going to make the Hall of Fame. I will say it like that.
Wow. So it's not like, and I know you can't comment on certain things, it's not like you have like the top two or three arguments made against him by the people who made them. That wasn't present to you.
No, 11 people did not speak out against Bill Belichick. Were there concerns about Spygate? Okay. Yeah. But there was no indication that there were going to be 11 votes against Bill. I thought he was a shoo-in. I thought it was a done deal. You know, who are going to be the other one or two or maybe none that get in from the other four? And I'll say this, you're not necessarily voting against the Bill Belichick. And there may have been people and too many people who said, hey, Bill Belichick's going to make it. He's a shoo-in. So I'm going to vote for the three seniors candidates, or I'm going to vote for Kraft and two other seniors candidates.
Yeah,
that's what
Sal Pell said.
On 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Yeah, but Sal didn't want to answer, if somebody mentioned that in the room about the penance thing, wait a year, then that's unacceptable and unprofessional and embarrassing.
Can I?
And like, if I was asked the question, I would say, if it didn't happen, absolutely, it didn't happen. If that's the case.
Though, again, the two guys who wrote the story yesterday and broke it for ESPN, they're like award-winning journalists.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just going to make that up?
No. So
100% they got it from somebody.
Yeah, no doubt. Armando Salguero, Hall of Fame voter, NFL writer who presented him to the selection body, said the people have to identify themselves that kept them out. And I would say it to their faces. Their votes sunk his chances and embarrassed the Hall of Fame. They make all selectors look bad, and they shouldn't hide behind their minority vote to protect themselves at the expense of the wider group. I know it's a wider group because I spoke with a lot of people, and they agreed with my vote for Belichick. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
As many people said, what's the point of having a Hall of Fame if this guy isn't in first ballot after everything he accomplished?
You're never going to get this moment back.
Yeah.
Now, I get what Sal Pell was saying, like, calm down a little bit here. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But if he's a Hall of Famer next year, why isn't he this year?
I don't get he might come back in the league. Well, who cares?
Yeah, I know.
If someone like would hire him in 2 years, so be it.
Yeah, that's part of the breaks. That's the whole thing is just absolutely baffling to us. I'll give you this tonight, Paulie. I know we're going to hit some NBA player props here. One thing I wanted to point out, and the number keeps ticking up a little bit. There's a college basketball team in action tonight. Now, it depends on how and where you grade it. They are either 17-1-1 or they're 18-1 to the over this year. They're from one of my favorite leagues, the Summit League.
Damn right.
And it's Denver. And they went flying over the total on Saturday against North Dakota. They went over their previous game against North Dakota State, but that was not an easy over. That was a struggle. They played Kansas City earlier this year. It was 87-74. That went over. But that's a total of 161 points. Tonight's total is now upwards to 164. I have over 162.5 in pocket. Here at Circa, 163.5. I'm just betting it because I've bet them the last couple of times out. And if you go back to last year, I made it a point when I said I want to just, and I didn't do this, I should have, but I didn't. I wanted to subscribe to that Summit League TV package that they have because their leagues are so fun and a lot of the games and teams go over the total so often. And I was a little bit late to the party this year on hopping on a team like that. But so I've hit a couple of straight with them. I got to do it one more time tonight. And it's a little bit high. If they weren't 18-1 to the over, would I have a bet in pocket tonight? Probably not. But they have been phenomenal so far. And this was just like last year when we did top bottom. This league produced for a majority of the season when we did totals. There were like three or four teams near the top, like every week for pretty much the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, eventually, like, tail end of the year, the numbers got a little bit too high and they started to go under a little bit. But this is a league where you get a lot of high scoring teams. And Denver has been Exhibit A this year.
The Jaguars from IU Indy are also in action today. And they kind of cooled off after they were started out with these crazy totals and wild games. But maybe they're back at it. Now, what's interesting is they're getting 9 tonight against Bob Morris, and the total's 158. They played last week, or 2 weeks ago. It was 96-93. They beat them at home. And now the Jaguars are catching 9. They beat Oakland 103-85. They lost 80-77. They won 96-93. They lost 95-83. Maybe we're back on this, and they've been off. Their last game was postponed because of the weather. So maybe the time off also helps out, and I would recommend over 158 tonight against Bob Morris at 4 o'clock Pacific.
All right, very good. Props that we're looking at tonight in the association. Cam Spencer, point guard for Memphis. When Ja Morant doesn't play, Ja Morant is out tonight. He's gone over, I believe it's five straight games where he's had double-digit assists. 2 days ago when we talked about this, the number was 6.5. He got to 13 tonight. They bumped it up to 8.5. But he had 9 at halftime. He is the main facilitator on this team now. And I did play over 8.5 at plus money. I did do a little bit of a ladder job with him as well. I actually think the Hornets might be a little bit cheap, by the way. They are a under-the-radar, sneaky, good basketball team and should have a much better record than what they are, as we've talked about several times. But 1.5, maybe a little bit cheap. Total here, 230.5. But with that high of a total, Memphis is going to be scoring some points, and I think this guy can rack up some more assists tonight. I'm on him. Did you do anything with Najee Marshall yet?
Points over again. Yeah, what a run it's been. He's been so good for Dallas. And a hell of a player, and he is on a 19-4 overrun with his points. Sam Merrill, a 13-2 overrun. And PRA, Siakam, 7 in a row. Wiggins, 7 in a row. Nurkic, 6 in a row. Get all this stuff every day at VSiN.com with the Prop Analyzer. There's a ton of guys on streaks, either last 7, last 10, or like the Marshall or the Merrill, who's on a 13-2 overrun points. McBride, 7 in a row over threes. Derek White, 7 straight unders threes. Prop with the Celtics.
Did you see that one report where the Heat actually, they would want a first-round pick for Wiggins for teams reaching out about him? I'm sure they can get a first-round pick, don't you think? There was also a report that the Celtics picked up the phone and they called the Clippers and they made an offer for Zubac. And the offer was Anthony Simons, a first-round pick, and a first-round pick swap with the Clippers. And according to the one report anyway, the Clippers obviously said no to that if, in fact, it did happen. I think that would have been a really good get for the Celtics and maybe a little bit of a fleece job. And I think it was wise for the Clippers to say no to that trade. How about you?
Yes.
The Celtics have more than enough three-point shooting. That's what Simons does as well off the bench. Zubac going to the Celtics? I think they might become the frontrunners to win the Eastern Conference.
He is a hell of a player, and that was a damn shame. And it's the last time I'll mention it, that Magic Johnson gave him away. He was a Laker. Zubac and Michael Beasley to the Clippers from Muscala.
Oh, boy.
What was he doing?
Wow, what a
trade. He was putting up numbers with the Lakers, too. And Magic, it's like, what are you looking at? Oh, that was bad.
That's
football meets flavor. With VSiN and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. Delivered right to your door. Incredible menu and selection. Check it out. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. 2 pounds of wings. Spend $129. Get it now. Omaha.
Mike Palm on the program coming up next. VP of Circa Las Vegas. We're now midway through the first of 2 weeks of the Super Bowl betting window. How does the early action look?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today, watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our outstanding affiliates across the country. Wednesdays at this time, it is the maestro joining us in studio now, Mike Palm. He is the VP of Circa Las Vegas. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Doing really well. I was just telling Paulie about this during the break. Can you imagine if the Super Bowl would have been like Rams-Bills? Like, that's a super sexy Super Bowl.
Yeah, with the two All-American quarterbacks.
Yeah, and the high-flying offenses. Is this a sexy Super Bowl so far to the bettors? We have a week and a half left to go before it obviously kicks off.
Well, you know, Seattle isn't the national brand they used to be when they had the Legion of Boom. I think Patriots, Rams would have been, because you had the two candidates for MVP squaring off against each other with the old guard with Stafford and May. But I think you can make the argument because Seattle's been so good. And the incredible story with New England and May seems to be like a likable kid. And who doesn't like Vrabel? I mean, that's a great story, too. I mean, Tennessee didn't want to keep him. He was no good. Maybe the greatest organizational move, firing Mayo after 1 year and bringing in Vrabel. So I think the handle will be okay. I was a little bit worried about having Denver with no quarterback, really dampening the expectations for the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Yeah, no call. Was this a hedge by the $1 million?
Correct.
Oh, it was.
So he,
well, elaborate on that, please.
Yes. So yes, the guy came in August, and I know of at least two other books in town. He made the same bets. I don't know if they were the same amounts.
Okay.
And obviously the odds might have been different. But early August, four $50,000 bets. Seattle to make the playoffs, which I believe was about plus 180. Seattle to win the West, which I believe we booked at plus 605. Seattle to win the NFC at 37-1, and Seattle to win the Super Bowl at 75-1. Cool. 50,000 on each. So he had already, you know, was up almost 400,000 on us. So he had that bet at 50,000 at 35-1. He hedged 500 on the Rams plus 2.5. So he had a little middle there he could have hit.
Uh-huh.
Didn't happen. I'm sure he wished. McVay kicks the field goal there. He's sitting on it, right?
Oh, mama.
And then he came back with the $1.1 million it was two bets, but effectively at plus 188. So.
And that was for New England to win the game outright. He's not trying to win both bets here.
Correct. This is one or the other. This is a money line bet.
So he's locking in money then. Is this a regular?
It'd be nice to have a team at 75-1 that's a 5-point favorite also on the Super. They get to be a 5-point favorite.
God.
How often does that happen?
No kidding.
In the preseason invitational, this is a good story. You know where you guys played in that preseason. They were one of the four teams not taken. The people at the end. And the host picked New England at 90-1 for Wesley Hernandez.
No.
You know, the guy that goes in all the time, and he didn't have him. I think he was a zero score, and he was picking 30th or whatever.
Oh, my God.
And the host, Chris Waterman, had to pick for him, and that Wesley just said, pick whatever you think's the best left. New England was one of the four teams not chosen by the people in attendance, so he's got him at 90-1 for the 1,500.
Oh,
that's nice.
Oh,
pretty nice.
What a story. What a story.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Their win total is 8.5.
Yeah, but they were one of the four not chosen by draft is always drunk. We know that. It's the funnest part of the weekend to get to the draft, no matter the sport. It's always crazy.
Wow. And this, by the way, the person who came here dancing around in August, do I understand this right? It was a first-time bettor? He's not like a regular who lives here?
No, we didn't know him. But I know he bet at MGM as well, and I heard one. So, because I know several have written articles and Todd Dewey and that. So he got down in at least three places. He was really strong on Seattle. And I mean, it's not like a fluke. I mean, they played very, very well.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yep. How about the guy? It's interesting because it's a monster payout, and your good friend Jeff Benson tweeted it. How about the guy who went Patriots over Seattle in the exacta?
$100 on August 7th or 8th over the counter at Tuscany. To pay $310,000. Wow. How do you like that? Oh, he's got the wrong team favor for the hedge, right?
Yeah,
but isn't that nice for $100?
For $100.
$310,000 payout? I wonder how many exactas he bet. I should have Jeff go. I mean, maybe there was more than one.
That's fine. That's fair. But
sure.
But he doesn't have it the other way.
I know.
How did he not have it the other way?
Because BetMGM had the specific matchup.
Yeah, Quinella.
1,000-1. Yeah. Well said, the Quinella.
That is interesting, by the way, when you do exact matchups like that. Mm-hmm. Do you bet both sides? Is that just in case, or do you just say, I'm going to bet one way?
Maybe you have a strong opinion that one team's going to win it, and you pick three or four teams from the other conference, and... Maybe he was very strong on the Patriots because that's the team he picked to win.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So 1.1 so far from that gentleman. What's the other biggest bet or bets that you've taken so far?
So that's the only seven figure bet. We took some money early on the Seahawks when we opened 3.5. Obviously, I thought that was strange. I always thought the look ahead was going to be 4.5 or 5, and then it opened 3.5. And so it got bet up pretty quick. So we took a couple six-figure bets, but no other sevens. But we're looking. We're, as Derek says, we love to take a bunch of seven-figure bets here. So
sure.
Why not?
I told him go to 5.5.
You'll take them.
Yeah, you're damn right.
You'll get there.
If he has an opinion, you can get the money.
Yeah. Right.
Five's not a very common landing spot.
We'll
you guys can put up with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's my dad always used to say, if it's five, always bet the dog. Anytime a game is five, they're begging you to bet the favorite when a number's five. Mm. So you always just bet the dog all the time at five. You'll turn out okay.
Okay, so when the game's finished on Sunday then, what did your gut say? I asked Sal Palantonio the same thing.
The level of play in the two games was so much different to me. It was like kind of like watching a Division III game against the Miami and Indiana. A little bit like that, right? I mean, and maybe weather had a factor. I think here's one of my takeaways. Football weather people should just find a new line of work. You'll never be praised for getting the weather right, but you'll be roundly criticized for saying it looks good and there's only a 5% chance of, right? And they say, how could they have missed it? Yeah. Right? How could they have? You can never satisfy anybody. It's just to me. I would say that the Rams should be four over New England. Right? I mean, the game's 2.5 and it's at Seattle, which tells you the game's really a pick'em, right? Mm-hmm. Almost on a neutral or Seattle a half. So either way, I did see look aheads if it was Denver. One was Seattle was 9.5 over them, and the Rams were 8.5.
I think that had the Broncos gotten there with mm-hmm. Stidham, the way that the Rams-Seahawks game played out, mm-hmm. that would have, I think, opened where it was almost touching 10.
Right.
It had to.
It was just a very high level of football,
I
mean,
so,
what a great game.
Sal, I want to get your thoughts, because Sal Powell was there, and he said he was pounding the table when Peyton didn't kick the field goal. And then Peyton goes, well, I was thinking 14-0. I just can't believe with a backup quarterback.
You don't want a 10-point lead and New England had generated no offense at that point, right? You were in total control. Why give them momentum? Why give them any momentum there?
Yeah.
He didn't know the weather was going to turn that bad and you weren't going to be able to score in this. But I saw a comment he made about Ben Johnson not taking
the
field goal.
Can you believe that? That's accurate.
He criticized Ben Johnson for not taking the field goal.
The week before?
Yes.
what are all these coaches doing not kicking field goals?
We need all the stats we have in sports, right? All these analytics. We need a new stat for the NFL and college. Refused points. And just chart it every time that a team. If they go and they make a touchdown, you can give them +4. And if they don't, it's -3.
Mm-hmm.
And just track that for each team.
I love it. Do it, too, when Bill Cowher rips the guy when he's actually wrong and the guy went for it and scored like Johnson did against the Rams.
Right. And I also, added on top of this discussion is, well, how was the game playing out? Everything that you just said is exactly correct. New England couldn't get an inch on offense. May looked like he was completely shot out there. The offense was absolutely broken. The Broncos defense was great. So a 10-point game probably is much closer to a 14-point game anyway. If that game is 24-21 late second quarter, then you go for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you don't feel you can stop the other team.
Yeah, yes,
but the Stidham ridiculous lateral play. I mean, swung the whole game. I want to know now, maybe these NFL officials just... New York is getting involved more now than Toronto in hockey. I mean, they're in these officials' ear every play. Oh, yeah. How about the guy judging the punts flying out of bounds?
Good luck.
He would walk up, and then he would stop and go back 3 yards. Someone was in his ear telling him where to spot the ball.
No, left. Hold on.
Go. No, back, too far.
if he makes the field goal to tie it at 10, how long does the game go on?
It might go 3 overtimes.
I think you're right.
It's impossible.
I think you're
right. Those conditions, you couldn't run, you couldn't pass, you couldn't kick.
No.
They would have had to delay the Rams game, and the Rams game might have kicked off at 8 Pacific.
No kidding. Do you want neutral site games for the championship Sunday?
No, absolutely.
Terrible idea, right?
I think the college football should play on home fields all the way to the championship game.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. Yep. Earn it. The higher seed always gets the home.
Circa, the place to be. And how about this World Cup giveaway? Getting close. Larger than life experience. One lucky winner gets a 2-night stay, a VIP cabana for the games at Stadium Swim, $500 in credit, $250 in food and beverage, limo transportation, cocktails at Legacy Club. Enter now, World Cup giveaway at Circa. For details, visit CircaLasVegas.com. 2-night stay, VIP cabana, the games at the pool, $500 in credit, $250 food and beverage, limo, and cocktails. CircaLasVegas.com. Get up there.
Great promo as always here at the casino, the hotel, the resort. Mike, quickly here, can you put into perspective how popular squares are?
Well, they're wildly popular. You know, when we first just started doing this 5 years ago, we were the only ones.
Yep.
Now, there are certain books that do them for every NBA game. Every NBA game, every NFL game. So, I mean... I own one of the 4 patents on the thing. I'm keep checking my mail.
The NFL's forgotten man passed away a few days ago. You cannot be serious next.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Good to have you on board. Time now for the weekly rants of the maestro, Mike Palm, with You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You know, Mitch and Paul, I'm not sure who I'm really ranting at here, but maybe it's all of us with this first one. A friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours who bartends part-time at the Omaha Airport, texted me the other day about running into Mike Rozier. and having a great conversation with him. And I said, ask him about Irving Fryer. Of course, we all remember in the 84 Orange Bowl, the second to last play from scrimmage where Irving Fryer drops the pass wide open for the touchdown and then the pitch to Jeff Smith to tie it up. And I got back to thinking about that game and the famous call. It was Don Crickey doing the play-by-play, and the color commentator says, I don't see the kicker. And I don't think we're going to see the kicker. Tom Osborne made this decision a long time ago. He's going for the win, and I commend him for it. Remember, Nebraska had won 22 games in a row. They were considered one of the greatest teams of all time. You kick the point, you're the national champs. They didn't. They tipped the Turner-Gill pass, and that would spawn the whole Miami program. Built up from Schnellenberger to Johnson to Erickson. So, the man who made those color comments was John Brody, who died on Friday. And what stuns me is the lack of coverage of the death of John Brody, who I now consider the NFL's forgotten man. John Brody grew up in Northern California, got a football scholarship as a quarterback to Stanford, but didn't take the scholarship. He walked on because he wanted to play golf, too. And if he was under scholarship, they could have told him, no, you can only play football. He was an All-American his senior year at Stanford, as well as lettering in golf, and drafted third overall in 1957 by his hometown team, the San Francisco 49ers. Well, for his first 3 years, Brody served as a backup to Y.A. Tittle. And so during the offseason, he would continue to play golf. In 1958, he won the Northern California Amateur Tournament. In 1959, he qualified for the U.S. Open. His third offseason after backing up Tittle, he's playing in the 1960 Yorba Linda Open. He shot a tournament low 67 in the second round, and on the back nine on Sunday was only four behind the leader, Jerry Barber. On the par 5 15th, he decided to go for the green in two, but came up short, rolled into the water, ended up even par, and went back to football. Later, he would say, I don't know if I reached the green if I would have retired from football and just been a pro golfer. Well, it so happens that the 49ers trade Y.A. Tittle to the Giants, and Brody becomes the starter the next year and would be the starter until he retired in 1973. He was the NFL MVP, Mitch, in 1970. And led the 49ers to two consecutive NFC Conference championship games. When he retired in 1973, his 31,548 passing yards were second all-time in NFL history, behind only Johnny Unitas and Fran Tarkington. Where did he go from there? NBC hired him to be an NFL and golf analyst. In fact, for 3 years, he was part of NBC's number one team. Now, this was before Crickey and Trumpy. It was Kurt Gowdy and John Brody. And of course, we know it was John Brody that called that 84 Orange Bowl. He also called Super Bowl 13 in 1979 with Gowdy. That was the Steelers 35, Cowboys 31 game. From there, he goes on to join the Senior PGA Tour from 1985 until 1998, winning a Senior PGA event and finishing in the top 10 12 times. Truly a remarkable life. And I say to all of America that we don't recognize this man, you cannot be serious. All right, number two.
You cannot be serious!
Down Under has been very fascinating to me. The Australian Open, played, of course, in 120-degree heat. It's insane. But did you guys catch the incident with Coco Gauff the other night after she got eliminated by Svitolina in the quarterfinals?
He was frustrated.
She went underneath in the stadium in one of the hallways, and she didn't think where anybody could see, and she smashed her racket, but there were cameras there. The stationary camera in the hallway, which caught it, and of course, then it all went out. She was very embarrassed by it. She did not want it to be seen. And she said, listen, I did it because I didn't want to be short with my team, and it wasn't their fault. I lost. We all did our best. I had to get my frustrations out. She said there needs to be a conversation about privacy in tennis. Well, the conversation is the next 2 days, I thought, ludicrous. Iga Świątek, the two seed who lost to Rybakina, who I think will win this tournament in the quarterfinals, after her match said, tennis players, we are like animals in the zoo who have to be observed when we poop. Now, that's her direct quote, Paul, who has to be. Not to be outdone by the Joker, who, thank God, Musetti went fetal again, up two sets to none and quits, just like he's done in majors before. Joker said, what's next? They're going to install cameras in the locker room so they can watch us shower. I mean, these people think that they're playing at the Kankakee Country Club. I mean, you're a professional athlete making tens of millions of dollars. Professional tennis players.
You cannot be serious.
Now, I don't know who to blame here for this one. I guess there's a lot of scapegoats. But Shedeur Sanders is going to be in the Pro Bowl. Shedeur Sanders is going to be in the Pro Bowl. In this century, there have been 696 quarterbacks that have attempted 200 or more passes in the NFL. His QBR ranks 692. He had a QBR of 18.9 this year, Mitch. He only played in 8 games, threw for 175 yards a game, 10 interceptions versus 7 touchdowns, 56% completion. How does this happen? How is Shedeur Sanders in the Pro Bowl? Well, it's a mix of voting between players, the media, and the fans, and there's some metric. The number one AFC vote getter in this matrix was Josh Allen. He's going to be there. The number two vote getter was Drake May. Well, he was going to be there, except he's going to the Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes was third, but injured. And then Herbert, who's there. So now they have to find an alternate. So now you go down the voting list, right? Bo Nix, injured. Trevor Lawrence, I'll pass. C.J. Stroud, I'll pass. Daniel Jones, injured. And they keep going all the way down the list until they get to Shedeur Sanders. I think they have to have a rule in the NFL. If you get beyond the 8th vote getter, then you just play with 2 quarterbacks. Or just don't have the game. And have the vote and say you were a Pro Bowler. Because the game is a joke. We'll do more business for weenies and bikinis on Saturday up here than we will for the Pro Bowl and what the spectacle that it's become. Whatever it is, skills, competition, flag football. NFL!
You cannot be serious!
I thought this was a great tweet from Sean Merriman to pull back the curtain a little bit and talk about what it was like years ago at the Pro Bowl. He said, this is a true story about Adrian Peterson. He did not have one drink by the pool all week, like everybody else. And it was Ray Lewis and Sean Merriman telling him, don't try to come out here and be like some Superman or a badass this week. But he said AP just did just that. And he got the ball like 20-some times in the game. And he wanted to run through every single defender and make it a point. Why, again, we have this conversation every year. Why have the game?
Used to be a good game. And you couldn't, you only blitz this and that. It was a fun game, right? It was a high-scoring game. Everybody showed out.
Okay, so...
I have another rules to propose to you. I want to give you a rules proposal. You guys watch a lot of hockey. Remember when they first started with the 3-on-3? Mm-hmm. How thrilling the overtimes were? Can't miss TV. Now they rarely score in overtime. Because all they do is skate the puck back and change and change and change and change and try to not have an odd man rush. I say if you have the puck in your own offensive zone and you skate it past the red line, it's a penalty. These overtimes are so boring. Just go to the shootout. They used to be fun. This is awful what's happening.
Interesting.
Now.
Okay. You like anything tonight on the card?
You know, the Blue Jackets are 6-1 since Ricky Bonus took over. And they get the Flyers who just got beat by, you know, they've had extra rest because there was a snow out. They get the Flyers, who got beat badly by the Islanders, but that was a bad spot for them because Wah sat his whole first line the whole third period the game before. I'll take the Blue Jackets, -120 tonight. How about this? Senators' for goal in the first 10, 7 in a row.
How about first period over, 1.5?
I think you had to keep betting it. Maybe you combine it. So it's almost $2 tonight, right? How about goal in the first 10 in both the Rangers-Islanders game and the Avs-Senators as a parlay?
Yep.
Get that thing down to even money.
There you go. Rangers 9 in a row. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Cosign.
All right.
No doubt.
By the way, he's the host of a new show on 670 The Score on Saturday mornings, 8 to 9 a.m. Central, right here, Mike Palm. And you're going to do it, you think, live from the studio?
I'm working with Bill to do it live from the studio here because Tim Murray doesn't come on till 7, so they have the studio available, and then I'll be able to do the show live. And that's a pretty good time slot.
Oh, congrats on
Saturday
that.
Saturday mornings at 8 to 9 in Chicago. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you. Have a gym accident like Craig Berube.
I saw his on the bench in Toronto on Sunday against the Avs, and I said, oh, he must have taken a puck on the head earlier. And the whole thing, it looked like Frankenstein.
It was a horseshoe of staples in his head. What happens at the gym for that to take place? Somebody drop a 40-pound barbells on your face?
Well, I don't want to talk about it, he says. How do you get 30 stitches on your head when you're at the gym? What the hell did you do?
No kidding.
He also doesn't want to talk about his defense or goaltending. Awful.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good week.
Thank you.
There you go. Mike Palm, VP, Circa Las Vegas. Up next, more soccer betting. Steve Wiskin to join the program. Find out who he likes fresh off of a 4-1-1 week with us last week. next here on VSiN.